Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 High FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtzon from Linksfield Chul. It's a privilege and an honor to be here with you on this Tuesday and every Tuesday from 1 to 2 in the afternoon. Today we're the 18th of Adar, Chai Adar, the lifeblood of Adar, and the 18th of March. I hope that you're well and healthy, and I hope that your Purim has been meaningful and joyous. We're now in a fascinating time of the year between Purim and Pesach, very cheap time of the year and very affordable time of the year, but much more importantly, a joyous and miraculous time, right? We're the last 2 weeks of the month of Adar, which is the month of joy. We're then going to enter the month of Nisan, which is a month of miracles and Exodus. It's a very, very powerful and meaningful time of the year. There's like an energy that just have to try to tap into it, and it's there, and it's magnificent. And it's a time that of strong, sorry, it's a time of strong identity. Purim is a time of joy, dressing up, discovering new ways of manifesting ourselves, right? Asking ourselves am I happy with the way I manifest to the world, or can I try a new costume on? And then there's the whole idea of Pesach, Passover, which is coming soon, and the idea of breaking out of your boundaries, also putting on a new costume, something more authentic to yourself, really discovering identity. One of the things that we live in a world that very much celebrates identity, right? How do you identify? It's a big word. But I'm not focusing on the word identify. I'm focusing more on the word identity. What do I mean? Identify could often be something subjective, right? I identify as something, or identify with a certain ideology, but that's not necessarily me. Identity for me is not something that's malleable. It's not something that's subjective. I can't wake up one day and decide that's what I am. It's who I am, right? I am, for example, I am the son of my parents. I am the husband of my wife. I am the parent of my child. I am the brother of certain people. I am a Jew. I am a relative of certain people. I am God's child. I have certain gifts. I have certain challenges. Those aren't things that are subjective, malleable, and I don't wake up one day and decide them. They are my core identity. Now, I could deny those realities at my own peril, but they don't change that, right? In other words, I could divorce my parents, heaven forbid, but they're still my parents. I could sit there jumping up and down, but that's the reality. I could avoid my DNA. I could avoid my Jewishness, and those things, you can't change it. Often anti-Semite will be the first one to remind me that I'm Jewish, but I can't change reality. And that's why it's important to understand the difference between identity and identify. Identify means I decide what I'm identifying as, politically, socially, emotionally, whatever. Identity is, it is you. It is you. It's you. But a lot of us grow up in a world where we don't acknowledge our identity. We don't raise our kids necessarily being aware of their true identity. So that's what I want to start off, at least the show. We'll see where it leads to throughout the show. But I want to focus on the idea of identity. And I'll start off with this statement. And that is, if we won't tell our child, if you won't tell your child who they are, someone else will tell them who they are. And that might not be who they actually are. In other words, if I don't help my child and myself understand their identity and become aware of their identity, someone else will offer them a different identity, which is not true to who they are. You see, we all have stories that we tell ourselves about where we come from, who we are, and where we're going. And the stronger and healthier the story of the past, the more solid and wholesome the story of the future will be. A healthy story of identity gives me a healthy sense of self. I belong in this world. I am part of a legacy, and there is meaning to my existence. An unhealthy story creates confusion and subjective connections to things, ideas, and people that don't necessarily conform with my true identity, and it causes incredible incongruency, right? It causes a lot of anxiety and spiritual anxiety because I'm not aligned, I'm not congruent. But if I have a healthy story, then I have a healthy identity. As Jews, we know this truth as well as anyone. We are master storytellers. Think of Purim that we just had last week, the whole Megillah, the whole story with costumes and parties. The story of the Persians, the story of Esther, the story of Mordechai, our identity. We're very, very aware of our identity. Then we have Pesach, Passover, the whole Seder, and the madness and the lead-up. What is the Seder if not the storytelling? We were slaves. We were freed. 10 plagues, story, Moshe, Aaron, etc. Think of Hanukkah with the stories of oil, donuts, and candles. Think of every week's Torah portion, the incredible stories that every four-year-old attending a Jewish school can then come and say, oh, this week's parasha talked about Yaakov, or talked about Moshe, or talked about Avram or Noach, etc. What an incredible story we are simply by being Jewish. Now, I could deny that story, or I could deny my association to that story, but they are objective realities, those stories and our relationship to those stories are fact. Now, it often hurts how some of us know so little about our incredible story in comparison to how well we and our kids know the stories of Lord of the Rings, the ancient Greek tragedies, and maybe even Harry Potter, and the biography of our favorite sports star or celeb or politician. But what about our own story? Our story is too remarkable to be missed out. It's remarkable literally not only because it's my story. If you don't believe me, open up the book of Shmuel, Samuel. Open up the book of Melachim, Kings, from the Tanakh, from the Bible. And just read it without commentaries. Just read those stories. They are incredible and meaningful stories. And they are stories that offer such hope. And they're stories that offer so much guidance and wisdom. For example, just after the break, during the break, we're going to play a song. You fall down, you get back up. It's a song, but it's a truth that if you read the Tanakh, you see it over and over. The stories of King David, stories of Joseph, incredible stories. You don't need to get this wisdom from random writers of today when you have it from the best source, the Tanakh, the Bible. So this is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
You fall down, you get back up. What a beautiful, beautiful song from Joey Newcomb, based on the words of Proverbs, Mishle, Ki Sheva Yipol Tzadik Rekam, that the righteous individual is not someone that doesn't fall. It's the one that falls, but he gets back up, unlike the opposite of a tzaddik, the rasha, the evil one, is the one that falls but doesn't get up. Righteousness is not that you don't fall. It's righteousness is that you get back up. And one of the ways of getting back up, which is something that we've been exploring before the break and I want to continue now, is this idea of having a strong identity. When you know where you're coming from and you know where you're going, when you trip, you can get back up and continue walking. But if you're just floundering in the forest and you have no idea where you came from or where you're going, and you're having amnesia where you literally don't know who you are, it's very hard to motivate yourself. And therefore, sharing the stories of our identity, whether it's the Purim story, whether it's the Hanukkah story, whether it's the Pesach story, sharing these stories with ourselves and our younger generation helps us understand who we are in this world. Think of people who take trips to Israel, not just like holidays to Israel, but like touring or Poland, very different experiences, of course, and come back so inspired. Why? Because they got the aha of identity. They realized that there's a big story attached to being Jewish, to being part of this community. It's not just kichel, herring, and knedlach. When standing at the Kotel or the blood-soaked lands of Eastern Europe, they confront the majesty, the marvel, the miracle, and the heartbreak of Jewish history. Suddenly they discover, we discover, how we are part of something much larger than our small issues, the pettiness. Not being invited to the bar mitzvah of my machi's cousin becomes insignificant and pales in comparison when I have identity. When I don't have identity, then every small little thing knocks me off my very fragile, you know, table made out of three legs. But when I have a four-leg table, when I have a strong identity, and it's not wobbly, I can endure not only the small challenges of life, I can endure basically anything. Just think of the captives, the hostages coming home after basically 500 days. And inevitably, almost every single story is about them rediscovering identity as the only way for them to survive. Because when you're sitting there alone, being beaten, starved, the only thing that gives you meaning and purpose and the ability to continue to fight and come out with still a determination to live is identity. So let's repeat it. If we don't tell our child who they are, someone else will tell them who they are, and we won't like the result. If we do not impress on the younger generation that there is nothing more important to their identity than who they come from, their family, their religion, their tradition, then someone else will come and superimpose a new identity on them, whether it's a left-leaning progressive ideology sweeping today's youth with all form of maddening ideas that boggle the mind. They can identify as an animal or anything they want, and you better accept it. Extreme right-wing ideology, loss of Zionism, pro-BDS anti-Semitism, or simply the ideology that everything is okay as long as I am not hurting anyone, which seems to be the new moral high ground. What's good? I haven't hurt anybody. That's great. If that's all I'm giving my kids as identity, if I leave a vacuum of identity and I allow these identities to be superimposed on them, just send them to college and let someone else give them identity, they will come back with mind-boggling, silly ideas. They'll think that communism is a great idea, even though communism has killed more people in the last 100 years than any other ideology combined times 5 or 10. Do you know how many people died in communist China in the 50s and 60s, the Great Leap Forward? Or in Russia in the 20s, 30s, and 40s? 100 million is a conservative number of non-combatants. I'm talking about non-soldiers who were killed by communist ideologies. And then you have your kid coming back from college at age 19 telling you they believe in communism. Why? Because it's very seductive. The old expression, if you're not a communist at 20, you have no heart. If you're still a communist at 30, you have no brain. But again, a kid with identity wouldn't fall into this rubbish. The world is full of silly perspectives. There is a podcast or a YouTube channel for every mishigas under the sun, every piece of rubbish, ready to convince you of a new load of hogwash that this podcaster just thought of last night, and they come up with a scandalous title that gets you to watch it, and now they have 200,000 views in 24 hours, which means they must be profound, and they must be right. If I don't know what I am, then someone else will tell me who I am, and I might believe them. And these nonsensical ideas will become the identity of anyone who has no strong identity. As G.K. Chesterton put it, he lived in the early 20th century, I believe, when men choose not to believe in God, they do not after that believe in nothing. Rather, they become capable of believing in anything. When you have no anchor, you are adrift and can end up in very dangerous seas. Chesterton was right. When you don't believe in God, when you don't have a strong identity, it's not that you believe in nothing, you believe in anything. Think about the world today, the ideas people believe in. Anything and everything just goes. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, what identity do I have in my own home and in my community, in my friend group? in my mind, not because I'm a rabbi, but because I'm a proud Jew, the most important part of my identity is my Jewish heritage. That's my story. Everyone has their story. I'm sure there's many people listening to the radio show who aren't Jewish, and they have their story. And it's not a competition of identities, but rather this is my identity, and I'm proud of it. As Chief Rabbi Sachs, the late Chief Rabbi Sachs, you say, Zeh Sheli, this is mine. The anti-Semites know this about me well. When they see me, when they see us, they don't see doctors, lawyers, sportsmen, Harley Davidson types, Kugel, right? Kugels, or high society, or low society, Schnorrer. They see Jew. That's all they see. Now, those haters are obviously evil and horrible and reprehensible, but they're right in one thing. I'm a Jew. They see it. I often deny it. All of us sometimes don't realize that that's the most important thing about us. The anti-Semite knows it. Hitler knew it. Hamas knew it. Haman knew it. It's more important than my career, more important than being happy. Which is funny, if I could just go on a tangent for a second. When people, the new refrain of today's parenting is, as long as my kid's happy. I'm not going to give them an identity. I just want them to be happy. So no need to nourish their Yiddishkeit, their identity, and push good old values and put boundaries in place and raise half a mensch. My kid's happiness is most important. If I scream at my kid and tell my kid, don't do that, well, they're going to be sad. That's terrible. I beg to differ. Happiness is not a goal. It's a byproduct of a life well-lived with values. You really want happy kids? Give them an identity. It might not make them happy today, but one day it will give them the greatest sense of happiness and satisfaction because they'll live a life that they are proud of, that you are proud of. If I want kids with good values and a sense of self, I need to give them identity. If they're happy as well, mazel tov. But I cannot make my kids happy. I often joke that if I want happy kids, then maybe I should just give them sugar, sweets, and maybe I have to give them intoxicants as well so that they're going to be happy. But I don't want, if I want happy kids as the highest ethos, then I'm going to do some really stupid things. I want identity. Our job is to raise the next generation with values that will lead to happiness. Because even if they don't end up happy, at least they will have the most important human need, identity, meaning, purpose. We need to give them this core sense of who they are. When they're going on TikTok every day and YouTube and Instagram, and so many people are telling them who they are or who they can be. And it's all rubbish. A bunch of influencers making money by selling you rubbish. Yeah, there's a bit of good stuff out there, but it's mostly rubbish. But the good old tradition, those good books, they are awesome. They're so awesome. Just the Bible, like the Tanakh, the good old Bible that has been going on for years is actually very, very, very decent. It's amazing. There's nothing better than it. And instead of running away from new ideas, hold on to the stuff that's great. I saw this quote that says, traditions are basically experiments that have proven themselves to work. The Tanakh, the Bible, the Torah, the Talmud, has carried a nation for thousands of years and built incredible people and identity and values. That YouTube star who's 18 years old and just somehow has a good-looking face and charismatic has never tried their ideas on anybody, including himself. And just because 200 million people like what they're saying doesn't mean that what they're saying is any more valid than the babbling of my one-year-old. So why are you listening to it? I mean, you can listen to it for entertainment. But at the core, identity comes from something much bigger comes from a tradition. It comes from a legacy. It comes from knowing who you are. I want to share a song with you. It's in Hebrew, so I have to explain it for those who don't understand Hebrew listening to the show. It's a beautiful song. Came out a few years ago. And it's a story about a Holocaust survivor that came out. And he managed to build a beautiful life after he got married, had children, raised a beautiful family. And someone asked him years later, he says, how did you manage to come out of that madness and still have a smile and be healthy? Healthy mind. And he told him, he says, before the war, he was one time at the Pesach Seder, the Passover Seder, at one of the great sages in Poland, the Belzer Rebbe. And at the table, there was this young child, I think the son of the leader, the son of the rabbi, the son of the Rebbe. And it comes time for the four questions. And the kid's not asking any questions. Whatever, he was 7, 8 years old. He's not asking the four questions. And eventually the father looks at him and says, my boy, don't you have any questions? I mean, you're looking at the Seder. We do so many things just to confuse the kids for them to ask questions. Is nothing surprising you? And the kid answers and says, of course I have questions, Dad. In the last half an hour, you've done so many things that are so confusing. But Dad, this boy turns to his father and says, you taught me. That we don't ask questions why Dad does something. If it's coming from Dad, then it's good. So how am I going to ask questions? You're doing it, Dad. I don't question you. And this Jew said that throughout the Holocaust, when he was going through the most horrible things, he would always remember the words of that young little kid. You don't ask questions on Dad. He's my father. I don't ask questions. And he says, that's how I was able to come out of the war with my wits intact and my faith intact. And I remember hearing the song the first time a few years ago. It came out in 2022. And it struck such a chord. It's not silly faith. It's faith that comes from an identity. It's faith that says, I know very little about the bigger picture, but I know I come from God and I have a loving God. And I'm able to go through the hardest times because it's father, because it's my father. Al Abba lo shalim shelot. I don't ask questions about my dad. So this is Al Abba lo shalim shelot from Mati Weiss on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
Ki Al Abba lo shalim shelot. We don't ask questions about that. Not because we're afraid to. First of all, because we don't know the answer, we'll never get the answer. Why is not a question that ever leads to an answer? And also, because we're people of faith. We're people of an identity. And the stronger my identity, the more I can survive in this world. Stronger I know who I am. And I'm going to say something even, beyond that. A person with a healthy identity is not threatened by other people's identity. Ironically, the best way to world peace is not everybody becoming nothing, right? That song from the 60s, imagine there's no heaven, imagine there's no religions. It's rubbish. That leads to anarchy, it leads to chaos. Okay, communism also didn't believe in heaven and didn't believe in religions, and it created absolute chaos. The answer for peace is each person having a secure identity, then I'm not threatened by yours. And I don't need to impose my identity on you because I respect your identity. That's the irony. People who feel that they have to proselytize and convince other people of their identity are people insecure. Obviously, we try to help people live the best life possible, but not forcing, not judging, in love. I know something that could enrich your life, but I'm not pushing you. I'm not judging you. I'm not coercing you. It comes from a place of serenity. Identity is not the opposite of peace. It's the only road to peace. If I know who I am and I'm not threatened by you, and you know who you are and you're not threatened by me, then we could get along. Think of it. Right? Why are there so many people that get in fights with other people or gossip about other people? Because the other person makes me feel insecure. They're better looking than me. They're more popular than me. They're more financially secure than me. They're smarter than me. So it's my own insecurity. If I'm comfortable with my financial security, my financial situation, my intelligence, my looks, my religious standards, if I'm at peace, then your journey and your success is not a threat for me. I'm only threatened by your accomplishments because I'm insecure on my own. So what's the way to peace? The way of peace is not smashing down your accomplishments. The way of peace is me being at peace with myself. In other words, having a strong identity. And then your identity, I'm happy for you. I'm happy in my identity, and I wish you well in your identity. Your identity doesn't threaten me. On the contrary, it's beautiful. Different colors, creates a tapestry. If you're feeling threatened by everybody around you, it's your identity that's lacking. If you're feeling that the whole world is out to get you, if you see everyone around you as a threat, you're the problem. Not you are a problem, your attitude is the problem. Identity, it's such an important word. And back to where we started, it's not identify, it's not what you identify as, which is subjective and could change every 5 seconds. It's identity, it's who you are, right? It's this deep sense of faith that says, God gave me the person I need to be the person I need. I am in the right body, in the right family, in the right faith, in the traditions. Obviously, I could find my own little way in there, but fundamentally, I was placed where I belong. I'm not always wondering, maybe I need to move to Sydney. And maybe I need to change who I am and change my name and change the way I'm perceived and try to figure out a way to become more popular on Instagram. At peace. Because if I have identity, I'm at peace. I, as in each one of us. And this time of the year, Purim, Pesach, every day of the year, in fact, is a time to rediscover our own identity. And the way to do that is to learn, to study, to reflect, to pray. Know your story, your collective, the big story of your nation, your people, but also your own family story, right? I'm part of the Jewish people, but I'm also Levi Avtson with my own unique life story and a unique life story of my parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. It's not a better story. It's not a worse story. It's my story, right? Thank God 2 weeks ago, my wife and I were blessed with a baby daughter. And we named our daughter Batya, and we named her for two people. Besides the Batya, the daughter of Pharaoh, obviously, but two people. One of them was my aunt, who passed away, an incredible woman. The other one was my great-grandmother, who was shot, and together with her whole town of Krasnostav, Ukraine, shot and many of them buried alive outside the city of Krasnostav, 950 souls, including my great-grandfather, great-grandmother, great-uncle, great-aunt, two great-aunts, and four cousins of my mother. They were all buried alive, buried, some alive, some dead, but shot outside their town. That's my story. It's a heartbreaking story. It's also a story of hope that my grandfather was the only one that the family survived and built a legacy of over 1,200 descendants together with my grandmother. It's a magnificent story. It's a heartbreaking story. It's my story. It's not a good story. It's not a better story. It's not the point. It's such a silly conversation when we get there. But it's my story. It's my identity. And I find incredible inspiration in that story. So what's your story? When you sit around the Pesach Seder and you talk about the collective Jewish story, that's beautiful. But beyond that, what's your story? Your own journey that led you to where you are today, the good days, the bad days, the mistakes, and the good decisions. What was the stories of your grandparents or great-grandparents that led you to where you are? As we reflect about Pesach, it's not only about kvetching about how expensive food is unbearable, not the prices, which they are as well, but the conversations about it. As you prepare for Pesach and you're cleaning the house and all that stuff, which is all important, don't forget that the fundamental thing of Pesach is you got to tell a bencha, tell the story to your child. And on that thought, I'd like to finish off today's show, 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Yatzin, with songs of Pesach, sung by Benny Freeman, wishing you happy preparation for Pesach. It's only 3.5 weeks left. Keep your wits, keep it together, clean the house, but remember, it's much bigger than the dust on the floor. It's a story. It's an identity. And how lucky we are that this is our story. Wishing you a great day.